You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Oh, what a pleasure to be back in the hot seat for The Punt. My name's Lee Phelps. We have got the Champions League quarterfinals and the Europa League quarterfinals as well. And I'm delighted to say that Alex Dunn is sat aside me to look through them and give you the pearls of his wisdom.
Yeah, good luck with that. Hello, Lee Phelps.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
It's always odd when you say it's all right. We've been sat next to each other all morning in the office, but are you all right for the listeners' benefit?
Yeah, fine. It's been a bit of a surreal week, really,
right,
with all of the Aintree goings on and the Grand National here in William Hill Towers. And then
exciting times.
And then a very chilled Sunday / hungover Sunday for most people in the office. Not me, I booked the day off. I'm not silly. And now we've got a...
Masters, blurry-eyed today as well. Everyone's a little bit tired.
That is true. I stayed up and watched the golf last night. And now we've got some really good Champions League action, actually. Because sometimes, I won't lie, Lee, sometimes you say to me, do you mind doing the midweek punt?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, no, that's fine. And then you look at the Champions League games that are on offer and you go, ugh, crikey, there's... How much can you say Porto against Zenit? But, we are now down to the cream.
Yeah.
Of Europe and Leicester, also there.
It's odd, isn't it? When you look at the fixtures, you're right, because you look at the standout fixtures are Juve, Barca, and Bayern versus Real Madrid. But obviously, Leicester's interesting because it's Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
And even this first game we're going to look at, Dortmund v Monaco, I mean, there's one thing about this game that everyone should know, that we should see some goals here. Mm. So we'll start here, the first of the Champions League quarterfinals. All these matches available for the hashtag YourOdds. So if you want to pick out a bet of your own, then go to Twitter, tweet at William Hill with the hashtag YourOdds. You can pick your own bet. And also, four means more applies to all of these games as well. Dortmund are 4-6 to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 14-5. And Monaco are priced up at 4-1. Not a good weekend for Dortmund. Lost 4-1 to Bayern on Saturday. That means they're 18 points behind their rivals, where Monaco top. 3 points clear of PSG in Ligue 1. We mentioned the goals. It seems guaranteed. Monaco conceded 6 to City, of course, away from home. They've only won 2 away in the Champions League this season. That was at Villarreal and against Spurs at Wembley. Not once since beating Spurs and letting 8 goals in the last 2. Dortmund scored 15 in 4 home Champions League games, Alex. Whatever you think to the outrights, and people may think Monaco may be a tad big at 4-1. Are you looking at the goals?
You've got to, quite simply. If there is a game that is guaranteed goals, you would hope it'd be this one, because they're both so good going forward, and Monaco have done so much to dispel the myth. Well, not a myth, because it was a fact that 2 years ago they were so negative and so boring, and they are quite the opposite now. They're so good to watch, and Dortmund have always been good to watch through the Klopp era, and now, well, even now, they're still... When they're on fire, they really do purr. That's the word that I'd use. It's just flowing. It's beautiful to watch. And this could be a fantastic, fantastic game. The thing to say against the goals, if you like, if you're making a fair argument, is that it's the first leg of a Champions League quarterfinal. And it would be no surprise if both sides just play a little bit within themselves, a little bit cagey, a little bit, let's not lose this game. But at the same time, I cannot look past goals. Now, both teams to score is 2-5. That is what it is. It's probably the right price, to be fair. I'll put it up, if you like, as a selection, because it has to. You've got to factor it in. Now, Dortmund's home form is stunning. The last time Dortmund lost at home in a competitive game, when was it, Lee?
I'm going to go for 2015.
Correct. The 10th of December 2015 against PAOK Salonika in the Europa League. They lost 1-0. Now, just to put that into a bit of context with real life, that was 5 days before astronaut Tim Peake to the International Space Station. Now, that seems like quite a long time ago.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So, that is the extent of my notes for this game.
Good.
So that'll do.
But mine just said goals across the front of it. In some way, you've got to have goals in, haven't you? I think you mentioned that both teams to score is way too short for people to back,
yes.
I think. But what it means is that if you just want to back on the outrights, then all you have to do is whatever you're going to go for, add the both teams to score into it.
Exactly.
So if you fancy Dortmund, there's no point in backing them at 4-6 when you can get 17-10 about them winning the game and score, both teams scoring.
And that would be the outright. I mean,
that looks unbelievable value, really. When you look at the difference between the 4-6 and the 17-10, I mean, the difference between Monaco winning and winning with both teams scoring isn't that. You know, it's a point bigger.
Yeah.
The draws, you know, 17-5 compared to 14-5. But I think you've got to go there. One other thing I noticed while I was looking through their games is that Monaco have conceded 6 in the first half away in the Champions League this season, and Dortmund have scored 8 in the first half at home mm-hmm. in the Champions League this season. So I was looking at if there was any value around kind of first half goals. There's not an awful lot, to be honest with you. The time of first Dortmund goal up to 30 minutes. Is 11-10, and they have scored quite a few goals early on, and actually Monaco have conceded a few before the 30-minute mark. So that might be a way in. If you're looking at the your odds, maybe fashioning something around there, maybe mm-hmm. both teams scoring in the first half might be a way in. I've probably got that market somewhere on here actually. So yeah, I think I'd be looking at the first half. So getting off to a flyer, Dortmund. There's no faffing around in the you know and sizing each other up here. They're going to go for it. They always do go for it, don't they?
Now, I think, while we've been talking about goals, if you're looking at goal scorers, two players who are having phenomenal seasons for their respective clubs, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, everybody knows who he is, what he does, and he's very short to score any time. But if you back him in the anytime goal scorers doubled markets, so that's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Kylian Mbappe for Monaco, he is the new hot prospect. If you like, from the same club, he's a bit similar to Anthony Martial in some ways. Right now, he's riding the crest of a wave. You've got to factor him into any goal scorer bets that you have, and you double them up, Aubameyang and Mbappe, and that is 17-5 for both of those players to score. If you are wondering where that is, if you go on the scorer / match specials tab, put my teeth back in. That is on the top, and then you scroll all the way down. There's plenty of different markets that you can get stuck into there. You're bound to find some value at some point down there, whether you want to go for my market or not. There's yep. so many good little markets there. But yeah, Aubameyang and Mbappe to score anytime, 17-5 would be the way that I go with that. But the outright selection has to be Dortmund and both teams to score.
Yeah, agreed. If you want to take that little bit of research I did to its fullest conclusion, then Dortmund to score over 1.5 first half goals is 11-4. So they've scored 8 in the first half, and Monaco have conceded 6 in the first half this season in the Champions League. That's not a bad price, but you do need 2 Dortmund goals in the first half for that one to pay out. Next up, let's have a look at a cracking game. Juve versus Barcelona. This is the irresistible force versus the immovable object. Juve being the immovable object defensively, absolutely brilliant. 2 goals conceded in the Champions League against Barca, the irresistible force. 26 goals they've scored in the Champions League this season so far. And of course, we know they've got the footballing Holy Trinity up front. I mean, they come into this, Alex, off the back of this 2-0 defeat to Malaga, and their title chances all but gone in Spain, with Real Madrid leading the league by 3 points. And I think they've got a game in hand as well. Mm. There was no Rakitic in that team. Iniesta was on the bench. Messi, Neymar and Suarez all kind of misfired. Neymar got himself sent off. If those three turn up, and there's no reason they wouldn't turn up, and Rakitic is back in and Iniesta's back in, and they're a stronger outfit all round, now also thinking, well, the Champions League's really our best chance of silverware, given that Real Madrid have got the upper hand in the in La Liga, then they will be formidable. They've got to get past this Juve team, who, as well as only conceding a couple in the Champions League, have got a great domestic record, haven't they? They won 16 on the spin this season and conceding just 8. I like to look at these games kind of tactically across the whole piece, mm-hmm. so not just the first leg. For Barca to have any chance, do they have to get an away goal here? Because Juve will be happy to shut up shop away from home.
They will, and Juve have arguably got the best defence in Europe.
Yep.
It makes it interesting, because can you see Juve going to the Nou Camp and scoring? Maybe, but only once.
Yeah.
At most.
Yeah.
Which means that Juve have to, while being very solid at the back, they have to not go for it here at all. But they've got to be, they can't just defend,
yeah.
basically, is what I'm trying to say.
And they'll know they can't, they from their point of view, they can't concede against Barca. Because Barca have scored 40 goals in the last 10 home games. Mm. You know, it's in the Champions League, that is, alone. I mean, they seldom drop points or seldom even draw games at home.
Let's not forget, the
last time they scored fewer than two goals was like 11, 12 home games ago.
Exactly, and let's not forget how they got here with that 6-0 win against PSG.
Unbelievable.
They proved that anything is possible. Yes. But
let me give the match price. I didn't do that, Alex. 6-4 Juve, 21-10 the draw, and Barcelona 19-10.
Now, Juve's home record is stunning in all competitions. We mentioned it with Dortmund. Juve, their last home defeat in a competitive game was the 23rd of August 2015. Getting on for 2 years now since they lost at home in a competitive game. And what happened around then, Lee Phelps?
Did Tim Peake go to the space station?
No, astronaut Tim Peake was getting ready to go to the space station. He was thinking about it. He was, you know, doing all the anti-gravity tests and all that. By the way, listeners, there's not a Tim Peake reference in every single game.
What? I hope there is.
Maybe try to, but
I've got one later on.
So, Juve, I can't oppose Juve here in terms of, well, I can't tip Barca to win this game. Barca to qualify is twos on, by the way, if you are looking for a longer term bet. And that may be prudent. You could maybe have a fourfold of teams to qualify through these quarterfinals. And I've just seen what you're searching for. Listeners, you're getting more Tim Peake eggs later, whether you like it or not. Look, Juve have to be the selection for me. I will take Juve to win at 6-4, but I think this will be really cagey, and I would actually have a single on Juve to win 1-0 at 15-2.
Right.
I don't think they're going to... I often like backing Juve and unders, which is available at 19-5, but I can't see Juve winning this 2-0. I think Juve will be more than happy with a 1-0. I don't think Barca will be crushed with a 1-0 defeat.
No, not at all.
They're not going to be busting the gut trying to get that away goal. If it's 1-0 after 88 minutes, you'll kind of see both sides just go, okay, maybe this is okay. Juve will hope that they can go to the Nou Camp and defend well and see it out. And at the same time, Barca will be confident that they'll, at home, be able to score twice. So Juve 1-0 is the sole selection for me in this game, but it is going to be so good to watch from a tactical point of view. I don't think it'll be a thriller that'll go down in history, but if you like watching tactical battles, this will be like chess, but good chess, because chess is rubbish.
and Barca will be so confident at home that they can do whatever they want to.
At the same time, the prices for the likes of Messi, Suarez and Neymar are so much bigger than they normally are, because it's rare that Barca are outsiders for any game.
You mentioned that you don't think Juve will score too many. I mean, you know, look at Barca's away form, which is, you know, patchy in the Champions League. Mm. They went to City and conceded 3. They went to PSG and conceded 4. You know, it wouldn't be a massive surprise if Juve did get a couple against them.
No, but at the same time, just the way that Juve play...
More controlled.
Yeah, it's less gung ho than the sides.
But I just wonder whether Juve will think we need to get more than one goal here. How confident would they be of going to Barcelona and shutting them out? Which should, you know, I know an away goal will do it. It's a fascinating game, isn't it? That's what I mean. Across the 180 minutes, it's a fascinating tactical battle of, you know, who will blink first almost. Will Juve stick to their guns and do what they do best and trust the fact that they can maybe take a 1-0 home win to Spain and close the game out, or get an away goal and close the game out? I don't know. I mean, I think in the back of their mind, they'll be thinking, Barca can score as many goals as they want against anyone.
It's very much, it's attack against defence in a way. That makes Juve sound like all they've got is defence. That's not the case. Yeah. But I think that defence will win out, certainly in the first leg. Mm. And also interesting to note, of course, this was the final 2 years ago of the Champions League when Barca won 3-1.
Indeed, a fascinating game. Both great games on Tuesday night. As I said, 4 means more available on both of those games. So if you have a bet on any of the 3 key markets in the match, that's match result, both teams to score and both teams to score, and there are 4 or more goals in it, you automatically get, as well as your winnings, you get 25% stuck on top as well. So well worth doing, and hashtag your odds available as well. On to Wednesday night. Let's start with Atletico Madrid versus Leicester, shall we, before we come on to the tie of the round. And we've already had Juve Barcelona, but Atletico Madrid versus Leicester. When the Champions League draw was made and we're all waiting to see who Leicester got, I think the general reaction to that draw from English football fans who were neutrals, who weren't Leicester fans, was, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, it's not too bad. Foxes fans will have shuddered, because of the two European campaigns they've had, it's been Atletico Madrid, who knocked them out three European campaigns they've had. It's been Atletico who've knocked them out twice. So they'll be a little bit concerned about this. The worry they've got as well here is that they're playing the runners-up from last year, and Leicester's away form is just dreadful this season. 3 wins away from home in 22. They beat Club Bruges in the Champions League. They beat Everton in the FA Cup, and they beat West Ham in the Premier League. And that's it. They've kept 3 clean sheets away from home all season. 2 of those, incidentally, were in the Champions League early on against Bruges and against Copenhagen. So that, you know, they haven't got much to go to war with here. Atletico have conceded 4 goals in the Champions League and 12 in La Liga at the Vicente Calderon. They've lost to Las Palmas in 2017, lost twice to Barcelona, but, I mean, 3-10 they are. 4-1 the draw, Leicester 10-1. Leicester can't win this, can they?
I don't think so, no. And
Atleti, or even get a draw?
Atleti could have been any price for me pre... When I was doing my research, I always like to do the research first and then look at the prices just to see how it tallies up. I could have made Atleti any price between 3s on and 4-6.
Right.
They
and a batsman 4-6, to be fair.
Yeah, they do deserve to be this price. They do. I was just wondering if maybe we get a bit more value because obviously we are a British based bookmakers, and I thought potentially we'd have a slightly shorter price on Leicester. No, not the case. Look, people are going to be tempted by 10-1 on Leicester here. Yep. They are, because they have seen what Leicester have done obviously last season, and obviously what they have done in Europe so far this season. But still, their away form in Europe hasn't really been that good. They won at Club Bruges, who are a Europa League side.
Yep.
They drew at Copenhagen, who are a poor Europa League side. And they got tonked at Porto when they were already through. Porto obviously are a good team.
Yeah.
Against Sevilla, they were pretty well beaten, but got the away goal.
Yeah.
And that was the key. Now, that was obviously Claudio Ranieri's final act as manager, and things have looked up since Craig Shakespeare took over. But they lost at Everton on Sunday, and well, you wonder how long before the likes of Kasper Schmeichel and the like are complaining again and saying,
well, Everton are reportedly sniffing around Schmeichel already for a new goalkeeper, aren't they? So yeah, you wonder, don't you?
Look, Craig Shakespeare's done a really good job, and he's got a bit of confidence back, and they are playing with a bit of a swagger. What's a bit of a swagger?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
A limp?
Yeah, that's kind of a...
sort of not quite...
It's like this.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of arms sort of... Not everywhere, but just a little bit of a... It's a very visual joke, that. Let's get the webcams on in here. Look, I just can't tip Leicester here.
No.
And Atleti are so good at home, and they haven't been quite as good this season in La Liga as they have in recent years. They've been the Juventus, if you like, of La Liga, just being very solid and grinding results out. Their home record hasn't been quite so good this season, but it's still very, very good indeed. And look, if you watched Everton-Leicester yesterday, the ease with which Everton carved Leicester open was embarrassing at times. And Wes Morgan, I believe, is still going to be missing for this game. That means that you've got a centre-back pairing in a Champions League quarter-final of Robert Huth and probably Johan Benaluan, who was laughably bad from set pieces. He just didn't jump. If Phil Jagielka's scoring against you, Atleti scores so many goals from set pieces. The likes of... He's much maligned for his time at Man City, but Stefan Savic, you've got Diego Godin in there, who I was going to put up as an anytime goal scorer. He's only 11-2.
Jeez.
For a centre back who only can offer you that chance from a corner,
it's
not that enticing. If you are going to look at him, maybe first goal at 16-1, but it's not the best value I've ever seen. That's the thing. It makes it quite difficult to find value here. But I'm going to go for Atleti minus a goal.
Right, okay.
Which for me is pretty rare, because my go-to bet is Atleti to win to nil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's impossible that Leicester score here, because the way that they're set up on the counter-attack, they could nick one. But I think they'll be letting in 2, 3, maybe even 4 here.
Oh, really?
I think this game could be over before they get back to the King Power. So Atleti minus one, the outright pick. Atleti will just have way too much. They will control the game from start to finish. And though I can see Leicester nicking one on the break, potentially, I still think Atleti have got more than enough, and they'll qualify with ease.
Jamie Vardy has got 7 in his last 10 for club and country. For you think Alex is right, and they could nick one. He's 3-1 to score any time in this match. The last part of your summary there probably puts to bed what I was going to ask you, which is I couldn't be backing them at 10-1, but the 7-2 to qualify. There may be some people who think, you know, if they can lose 2-1, maybe even 3-1, and they can get that atmosphere back at the King Power and what they did to Sevilla. Mm. You know, that maybe people might think, well, 7-2, but it doesn't seem quite big enough for me to think that they can, you know, if they do lose this by 2 clear goals, that's going to be some ask, because there's no way they're nilling Atletico Madrid at the King Power, is there? There could be away goals in both of these legs.
Possibly.
And you'd think it'd be more likely in the Leicester City home leg.
Well, you look at Atleti and Sevilla as a comparison. Yeah. There's only 1 point separating them so far in the Liga. But the key is that Sevilla's away form, which this season has been okay, as a rule, is horrid. Mm-hmm. And Atleti are a much more rounded side, if you like.
And the other thing is that Sevilla may have got suckered into the surprise element of Leicester.
Yeah.
And Atletico Madrid, if they've got anything about them, won't. Because also, they've seen that what this team can do.
In that second leg, Sami Nasri was sent off. Mm-hmm. Stephen Nzonzi missed a penalty.
Yeah.
Leicester weren't comfortable victors by any
means. No, not at all.
But no, this one goes Atleti's way without question, as far as I'm concerned, and I would back them minus a goal at 4-5.
Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid. This will become the most played game in Champions League, in European Cup history, Champions League history. 23rd time they face each other. The record is pretty tight as well. Bayern have won 11, Real Madrid have won 9, 2 draws, 33 goals for Bayern Munich in the meetings and 31 for Real Madrid. So we've got an absolute classic here on our hands. Madrid, unbeaten in the Champions League this season, top of La Liga, and bidding to become the first club in Champions League history to win back-to-back titles. Bayern Munich, of course, doing what they normally do, fresh from beating Dortmund at the weekend as well, in great form. Both eased into this stage, beating Arsenal and Napoli, respectively. Should be a great game. I was looking at some of the stats around Madrid at the minute, Alex. They've scored in a Spanish record 52 successive games in all competitions. That's 139 goals. I suppose one of the surprises is that Ronaldo's tally of 2 goals in the Champions League this season is low for him. Mm. You expect him to have some sort of bearing on the rest of their campaign if they're going to progress through this fixture. Benzema and Morata have got 8 goals between them, so they've been doing the lion's share of the work. And that man Lewandowski, 46 goals in 45 games for club and country this season. Another game with the potential to have a lot of goals in it, if it doesn't go down the tactical route. It's 4-5 for Bayern to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 5-2 and Real Madrid 7-2. The qualifying price is 8-13 Bayern, and Madrid the outsiders at 6-5.
Yeah, I just want to start with a stat that bears no relevance to this game. But hey, it's a stat. Tell your friends it. Robert Lewandowski, since moving from Dortmund to Bayern, has now scored in every single game that Bayern have played against Dortmund in that time in which Bayern have scored.
Yeah.
So if Bayern score, Lewandowski scores. Useless for in terms of this game.
Do you think people keep notebooks anymore? You know, like you people used to say, put that in your betting notebook.
Possibly.
If you've got a betting notebook and there's a page for Lewandowski or the Das Classic and whatever they call it. Mm.
Just lock it at the back of your mind.
Stick it in there.
Because he scored twice again at the weekend. Mm. I suppose you could make a bet out of it in that he's in good form. There you are.
Yeah.
There's a link. I think this could be an absolute humdinger. Look, there's so much head-to-head form for these two sides.
And there's so many players who've played for the opposite team, managers. Yeah. There's so much between... They know each other so well, don't they?
It's almost like a league game in terms of, it's that time again when these two have to play each other. And look, it's going to be fantastic. And I don't think we'll be disappointed here, because sometimes, particularly in first legs, things can get overhyped. Mm-hmm. And then they're a little bit disappointing. I think this will be an absolute belter. It's over a year since Bayern's last home loss. What was Tim Peake doing around then, by the way? Over a year
probably
ago.
Floating around space, wasn't
he? Probably, yeah, or maybe he just got back.
Maybe, yeah. I can't remember when he got back.
No, I can't either.
My research didn't go that far. No.
It's kind of died a death, that one.
Was he in Peaky Blinders?
No, stop it.
No, something different.
So I would say, Tim Peake aside, that, by the way, if these are going out on clips on InPlay Radio as separate entities, just apologies. If you want context,
listen to the full podcast, don't you?
Exactly.
You don't get this kind of quality if you just listen to one clip. The full joke won't be available to you.
Look, I think Bayern win this. They're too good at home. they slipped up in the Bundesliga the week before last, or sorry, in midweek it was, away at Hoffenheim. But otherwise, they are pretty much untouchable. And though Real Madrid have been very, very good, of course, they went on that long, long unbeaten record until just after Christmas. That was in the league. And Bayern have probably just got the edge in recent head-to-heads. I say recent head-to-heads. It's not really that true, because we saw Real batter Bayern 4-0 going back a couple of years ago. Look, there is so much, like you said, that you can compare and contrast between the two sides, players who played for both, manager, etc., etc. But I think Bayern will just edge this. But again, and we said this was with one of the earlier games, I think both teams to score is a banker here. Real Madrid's, in the last 10 games in all competitions, 9 of them have seen both teams score. That's incredible. For a side as good as Real are, they let in so many goals. And I say so many goals, they let in goals frequently.
Mm-hmm.
They, it's rare that they'll let in 3 in a game, but they'll always let in one and score 3 or 4. So no one really knows or no one notices, I should say. No one really cares. Look, people are going to look at Real Madrid here at 7-2 and go, cranky, that is tempting. Yeah. Particularly, Alex, if you're saying to me, I think they'll score at some point in this game. But I think Bayern will just have enough. So it's going to be Bayern and both teams to score at 9-4, or Bayern and 3 or more goals in the match at 29-20. Either way, I think we see plenty of goals. I'm just going to find out both teams to score on its own. It's 6-10, and that isn't too bad, to be honest. But people will look at Bayern's defence and go, oh, well, they do keep clean sheets. They do, but it's rare that in Germany they come up against an attack as potent as Real's.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, look, you're going to get, it's 5-6 Lewandowski any time. It's short, and I'd much rather back Ronaldo any time at 7-5. I just think there'll be goals.
And
this will be, we said Juve Barca could be trappy. I think this will be anything but. This could be an absolute belter.
Here's a little stat for you. Madrid have won 4 of their 30 games in Germany today. That's unbelievable, that, isn't it? Unbelievable stat for one of those wins was a 4-0 victory in 2014, of course, which was Bayern's record home defeat in Europe. So these two teams meet for the 23rd time in UEFA club competition, and we're hoping it'll be an absolute cracker. Just before we leave the Champions League, we've got outright markets, of course. We've got the top scorer. We've got the winning nationality. We've got teams to meet in the final. The outright betting: Barcelona 11-4, Bayern Munich 11-4, Atletico Madrid 11-2, Real Madrid 11-2 because they're playing Bayern. Surely Dortmund 9-1, Juve 10-1, Monaco 12-1, Leicester 25-1. Interestingly enough, in games between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, often the winner of these matches goes on to lift the trophy. So maybe if you fancy Real Madrid to get through this, that 11-2 is maybe your bet. But they have got to back it up and win this title.
Whatever you're backing there, you're going to get a really tasty price, because it's not often you see Barca and Bayern at 11-4 at this stage of the competition.
True.
But personally, I would back any of Atleti, Real and Dortmund in this, purely because Atleti are basically, in my opinion, already in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's guaranteed. Dortmund at nines, I think they will get the better of Monaco fairly comfortably over 2 legs.
Yep.
And therefore, again, they won't be nines in the semis. And Juve just overpriced.
Yeah.
But I think if pushed now, I'd probably say Real Madrid at those prices at 11-2. I think Real could not buy an out, you know. And they are 6-5 to qualify.
I was about to come on to this because there's one bet that I've looked at, and that's the top scorer. Messi is far and away the top scorer. He's got 11 goals. Cavani on 8. Aubameyang on 7. So is Lewandowski. But if they do get knocked out and Bayern get through, you've got Messi at 1-10 to be the top scorer and Lewandowski at 11-1. Mm. Now, he'd still have to go some. He's still got, if they get to the final, Bayern, he's still got 5 matches left to play in, providing he's fit to play them all.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Messi was to go out at this stage and he might still score, even if they go out, I just think there's a massive difference between those two prices. And I know there are 4 goals between them. But Lewandowski's the sort of player who can get a brace in a game, and it could be a lot more even. But you're banking on a lot of things there. It just looks a big price at this stage of the competition. It's like it's the semi-finals, not the quarter-finals.
Well, I think, let's just say, my 4 semi-finalists, if you like, would be Dortmund, Juventus, Real Madrid, and Atletico Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that puts the first 2 in the market out already. So you're left with Aubameyang, Griezmann, Ronaldo, Benzema.
But they have to score plenty.
I was going to say, just go back to that table. So we've got Aubameyang's got 7, so he's 4 behind.
Yeah.
Lewandowski would be out, Aguero's out, Cavani's out, Mertens is out, Benzema's got 5. Well, therefore, Aubameyang at 7s. We've already said Dortmund Monaco at 7, sorry. He's got 7.
Yeah.
He is 12s, isn't he? Yes, 12-1 to be the top goal scorer. Yeah. I've said that Dortmund Monaco, you're going to see goals in both legs. You'd fancy he can get maybe one in each. Well, then he's on 9.
Yeah, suddenly it's that you've got a life bet, haven't you?
I don't mind that at
basically,
all.
Basically, what if Barca go out, what you're doing is you're betting against Messi in the clubhouse, aren't you? And that's what you know. He's posted his score 11. Can they catch him? So it's just an interesting market.
Very interesting.
Europa League on Thursday night. We have got 4 matches: Lyon versus Beşiktaş, Ajax versus Schalke, Celta Vigo versus Genk. All covered on In Play Radio, and of course English interest in Anderlecht versus Manchester United. Anderlecht are 14-5. The draw is 12-5. Man United are even money away from home. Historians from both clubs will have grimaced and grinned remembering a particular game. September 1956, Tim Peake was just in the embryonic sack at this point.
Was he?
Yeah. Well, he was born in 1975, but just poetic license, that is.
I was going to say.
It was 10-0 to Man United that day.
Okay.
And it was that's their greatest ever win in European competition. And it's Anderlecht's worst ever result. Zlatan will also send a shiver down Anderlecht's spines as well. He scored 4 in a 5-0 Champions League win for PSG and then got 1 in the return leg as well, 1-1 draw. So he's someone they won't like facing again. The top of their division in Belgium by 4 points. The Champions League records, they've scored 21 goals but conceded 11. Man United have scored 18 and conceded 5. Man United warmed up for this quite nicely at a terrible Sunderland, really. It was more like a training run for Man United. But I don't really like the even money, but I can completely understand why it's priced like this. They're a better team than Anderlecht, even though you don't go into it thinking, wow, Man United will win this. You're not that confident. If that was just pushing towards 11-10, I'd feel a lot more comfortable about backing it. And I wonder if you get anywhere near that kind of price on match day, then I'd be looking at backing Man United here. They don't need to win it, of course, because I think they'll be comfortable if they got a draw and came back to England. They'd be comfortable in beating Anderlecht, because Anderlecht are no great team. They're not even a great Europa League team.
No, and that's the thing. It just looks, Man United looks so out of place in this quarterfinal lineup. Ajax, Schalke, Anderlecht, Man United, Celta Vigo, Genk and Lyon Beşiktaş.
This is Man United now, though. It's not Man United of 3 or 4 years ago, is it?
No, that is true.
I mean, interestingly enough, when I was doing the research for this, there was a thing on the UEFA.com site, and I think it was this day in history when Man United put 7 past Roma. Do you remember that when Ronaldo was... Yeah. 10th of April 2007, United 7, Roma 1. Unbelievable. I mean, it's barely recognisable, really. I know they were still a top team, but this is where they sit now in the Europa League.
I think
they need to go and win it.
I think Patrice Evra might have scored that day as well, which, hey, that doesn't happen every day.
We'll find out.
I might have just made it up, though. Alan Smith.
Rooney looked thin. Mm, he had hair. Oh, he's still got hair.
It's Fergie and Kieran. Oh, no. Good times.
If you're a Man United fan, yeah. Oh, Zorro played for Roma.
Christian gave
away. We're just talking about website now.
I think it's a bit of a mismatch, this. But while I think Manchester United will go through, they're not guaranteed to win in Belgium, in my opinion. And I'd much rather back the draw in this. Look, Man U should win, but they're not going to bust a gut to. They're not. They would be okay with a draw here. And I think both teams will score. So both teams score and the draw is 16-5, or 1-1 correct score, 6-1. Well worth a look in this. A lot depends on which side Manchester United put out. You'd imagine they'll be fairly strong. And like you said, they had a nice little warm-up for this, didn't they, at the Stadium of Light. Zlatan to score any time is 23-20. It just depends who plays. There's so many different variables of the Manchester United team in whatever way, shape or form they decide to play. There's value somewhere, but you'll have to wait for team news, I think. Whether you back Mkhitaryan or Martial or Rashford or Lingard or whoever is playing in that hole off Ibrahimovic. Look, Zlatan at 23-20 any time has got to be tempting, given he takes all the set pieces as well. If you are looking for an Anderlecht player, I'd say maybe Yuri Tielemans, if he plays, could be interesting. But again, threes is not that good, really. Look, I think 1-1 is probably the way that I'd play it. If you want to back that as a draw or match result and both teams to score with the result being a draw, or just 1-1 at sixes, that's probably the way that I'd go with this. Mm-hmm. It's a really tricky one to call. Both teams to score, incidentally, is priced up at... It's not there. It's gone. Where's it gone, Lee?
Found it.
10 to 11. That's well, 10 to 11 each of two. I'd rather be with yes than no in this, personally.
I like that Zlatan to score and Man United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. I think they'll start to get serious now, Manchester United. They're within sniffing distance of winning a trophy. Mm. Obviously, Mourinho's got a little bit of history in this. It was formerly the UEFA Cup, of course, with Porto. That's 5-1 for Zlatan to score and Man United to win 1-2-0 or 2-1. So I don't mind that at all, but... Yeah, I know what you mean about the team. I think Man United will go as strong as possible, but like you say, we don't know what their strongest possible is.
They don't have a strong, given the strongest team.
Given any night, it could be any one of two or three in certain positions. So no, I get that. I'm pretty confident Man United will have a good end to the season now, though. I think Mourinho, the canny manager that he is, knows that finishing a season strongly is a key to starting the next season strongly. Yeah, I think they'll finish. Pretty confidently for the rest of the campaign. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go on and win at the Europa League either. Like you said, they should do. Given who's left, really, I think they'd be disappointed now if they didn't go and win the Europa League. They're in terms of the outrights, they're 5-4 to win the Lyon 3-1, Celta Vigo 6-1, Schalke 7s, Ajax 14s, Besiktas 16s, Anderlecht and Genk are the rank outsiders at 33-1.
One bet that stands out like a sore thumb for me, to be honest, is Ajax to reach the final, which is 5-1.
Yeah.
I think they could get the better of Schalke. I know that we're not talking about that game as such.
It's a good game, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just
it's
not...
It's the best tie of the round, it looks
I'm
like.
I'm not a massive Schalke fan, and Ajax are what they are. They play in a very moderate league, but they're pretty formidable at home. I think they can beat Schalke. I think that'll be a win on both teams to score, but I think it will be in both legs, to be honest. And then, all of a sudden, Ajax in the semis. Well, who would you be scared of facing? Lyon, if Lyon played Ajax, Lyon would be favourites, but it's not insurmountable. Yeah. Even Manchester United against Ajax, I wouldn't be so bullish. Of course, that'd be Zlatan against his old club. That'd be nice.
Great, wouldn't it?
And Celta Vigo, I'd expect to get the better of Genk as well, but they're 2-1 to reach the final. Lyon are 11-10. Ajax at 5, Schalke at 5-2. If you swap those round, I'd say that's fair. But personally, I'm just a bit of an Ajax fan, so... That'd be one thing that I would throw out there. But Man U to reach the final 4-9. It's short, but it's hard to see them going out, particularly now as it gets serious.
Yeah, no, I agree. That interesting games, though, Celta Vigo, Genk and Lyon Besiktas games. I do think that Genk and Besiktas are being kind of... look, they might not win these legs, but 5-1 and 9-2, some variant of a kind of a plus one or something like that. They've both got goals in them.
All these sides are much of a muchness.
Yeah, they are.
Really.
I mean, and Celta Vigo and Lyon are being priced up, all right, look, the Lyon are fourth in Ligue 1. Obviously, that's decent. Besiktas are top of their division by a country mile. And I think I'm right in saying it's a similar story with Celta Vigo and Genk. Celta Vigo aren't exactly pulling up any trees in La Liga. Where are they? They're currently in about 10th position, and Genk are top of theirs, only just
reached the playoff table, haven't they?
But obviously they're a good team in their division. They went to Ghent and won 5-2. I think they're being a little bit underappreciated in those games, but it might be a bit of a stretch to think that they can get anything out of them. Well, it's interesting games, though.
You think of past Europa Leagues. There's no Sevilla lurking in here. There's no Zenit.
There's no Benfica to knock it up in the final.
That's the thing. You've got teams sometimes. And the thing is, those sides were so good that they got into the Champions League this year.
Yeah.
And I know that a few of these did as well and whatever, but they are very Europa League. There's four very Europa League ties coming up.
Yes, indeed. Is there anything from the whole week that really stands out for you that you would be saying to people? This is a great bet. And my name's Alex Dunn. You can put my name to it.
Do you know what? I wouldn't mind a... I was looking for a bit of value there. Juve 1-0, I really like. Dortmund and both teams to score, I really like.
Yeah, like that as
but
well.
If you're looking for a banker, I'd go Atleti -1.
Alex, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
All the games that we've discussed will be featured on In Play Radio, so make sure you tuned in on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday nights for those, covering all the football all week long as well, plus a very busy bank holiday weekend fixture list across all the domestic divisions. So make sure you tuned in. InPlayRadio.co.uk. You can also find the on switch on the left-hand menu of the William Hill app. Remember, four means more, and hashtag your odds available on all those European matches this midweek as well. Alex Dunn has been giving you all his thoughts on the betting. My name's Lee Phelps, and we'll be back before the weekend with Dave Kellner, Tom Cowan and Derek McGovern for a look at the Premier League weekend. If you're having a bet on any of the European matches this week, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.